Welcome back. Michael Warren Thomas here. It's the Grapevine on WISL 1040, 92.1 FM, and happy Easter, happy Passover. It is a certainly a very different one for many people, and hopefully you're staying at home, and only if you go out, wear a mask. You can make your own. It's very easy, but the CDC has finally come around to telling us it's a good idea. It always has been a good idea. It's just they were apparently worried that people would hoard them and they wouldn't be available for hospitals, etc. And so it's taken a while for this idea to become recommended by the CDC, and people are starting to do this. We could have been making them all along. But they weren't recommending that till recently, unfortunately. So wear a mask, stay home, and we need to knock this down here in April. And the better job we do of that, the more likely we'll get to start opening businesses sooner. Especially garden centers, etc. They really need May, April. I mean, it was snowing 2 days ago. It's going to be very cold this week, a couple nights below freezing. You know, it's just too early to plant your tomato plants. You can wait to go to a garden center. Some are doing curbside service right now, but we need May. And if we knock it down here in April, there's a better chance that we can start to reopen things sooner than later. So we got a special guest with us right now from Eagle Crest Vineyards, owner winemaker Will Lean. Good morning, Will.
Greetings, Michael. Great day to you.
Great day to you. And as I posted on Facebook, it's so appropriate that we are interviewing a winery founded to make altar wine on Easter Sunday. This is it just makes sense, right?
Indeed. I wish Easter Mass and Easter services were ongoing today, but given the circumstances, we find ourselves in a very, I think, unique position. Maybe the first time in 2,000 years or so that we haven't had religious services celebrating Easter.
Yeah, it's, you know, and you continue to make altar wine. That's what Eagle Crest Vineyards was founded to make, right? And you still make it. It's just there's obviously no demand for it if there's no services.
That's right. People don't realize it, that visit us for our Oneida Vineyard and Eagle Crest wines, that really about 95% of our volume, maybe 45, 50,000 gallons of wine, which is about 200 tons of harvested grapes, goes into the production of our natural pure grape sacramental wines, which are sold not just in the Diocese of Rochester, which kind of stretches from Lake Ontario to the Pennsylvania border, but throughout New York State, throughout Pennsylvania, Maryland, Virginia, North Carolina, Florida, Georgia, Ohio, Toronto, Guam, Puerto Rico. So wow. What has been a very stable and healthy business for the last 148 years came to a screeching halt here this year, and we actually postponed bottling, which I would be doing right now, for the sacramental wines. We usually acquire about $150,000 or so worth of glass from Waterloo Containers, our great friends at Waterloo, to bottle all of the sacramental wine for a year's supply for churches all over the East Coast. But not knowing really when Mass and other religious services will commence again, and we're sitting on a lot of wine, I don't know what we're going to do. We are not panicked. We've had great response from folks in Livingston, Monroe County especially, who are now learning they can buy wine online for our dinner wines. And we've been doing a special called Stock Up Saturdays, D-A-Z-E, because I'm a little stunned by all this, but
yes.
stuck up Saturdays where we're doing a 30% off on cases, which is unprecedented for us. And then that includes free delivery or free pickup. So that has been working great. We've seen maybe a tenfold increase in our tasting room sales since we started the Stock Up Saturdays. So we're really very grateful to folks who are mindful that local businesses, you know, really depend on ongoing sales, and people are making a real effort to keep all of us going, and that is tremendously appreciated by all of us.
You know, if families that are not going to church for Mass right now, can they order altar wine, or is that only available directly through churches?
We've had that request a great deal about 15 years ago or so. When I got here, people were asking to buy the sacramental wines all the time because they are delicious and they're natural. They're very fruit forward, a little sweeter generally. But one of the requirements to get the local bishop's approval, which we have, which is called a letter of approbation, is not only that the wine is completely natural and wild fermented with nothing added, but it also cannot be available to the general public. So the wines, before they're bottled with the sacramental wine label on them and sort of the bishop's imprimatur, before that, they're just wine. So I do have, you know, lots of wine on hand. That's Bob Nielsen, my wingman and our former videographer for our fight against gas storage and the incinerator and other things in the Finger Lakes. Bob lives right down the street from me, fortunately, and we've been sort of cloistered on Mission Road for a couple of months now, so we're both COVID-free. And we just started, given some of the nicer weather, to rack the wines off from last fall's harvest, which is somewhat unusual, I think, for wineries, not only in the Finger Lakes, but around the country, to basically just crush the grapes in the fall after harvest and then let them sit for now 6 months on their gross lees. And we're just racking them off and adding a little bit of sulfur to hold them over for the duration in case we don't get to bottling them this spring. But they're delicious. They're definitely yummy. And some of them inspired our table wines. Queen of the Vine was very similar initially to St. Michael's Rosé. And the Anno Lee, which is a Cayuga white wine, very similar to our Hot Saturn Sacramento wine. And then our bestseller, Midnight Moon, and its cousin, No Frackenway Red, were very similar to the Chalice Red. Today, they've evolved into their own sort of style for the dinner table, but initially they were almost indistinguishable from the Sacramento wines.
And what's the purple pause? Is that related to New York pause?
That is some grapey goodness. And the purple pause started out as Chalice Concord, which is a unique Concord because oftentimes people can add cane sugar and water to lower the acidity of the natural Concord. Acidity is pretty high. But our Chalice Concord is pure Concord. So it's got concentrated Concord grape sugars that we add from dehydrated Concord juice to boost the bricks so we can get a 12% alcohol wine and still have it be about 6% residual sugar. It is yummy and definitely one of our best sellers, Purple Paws. So, you know, we have a great we have a great flexibility here that other wineries don't have, in that as I start to make a particular table wine, if it isn't outstanding and deserving of the Oneida Vineyard label or the Eagle Crest Wines label, then I can blend it into the Sacramento wines and nothing gets wasted. So it really gives us a business advantage that other wineries don't have. But at times like this, when 95% of our revenue sort of comes from a single source, even though we have individual church customers, you know, 1,500 or so in New York State that we serve directly. We don't sell to the Catholic Church, as it were. It's individual customer relationships we have. But they're by and large, you know, not ordering wine and probably sitting on the wine they already have in stock.
Sure.
Lisa, my queen of the vine, reminded me yesterday how fortunate we are, because I had seen rumors of a really bad flu season this year prior to the COVID-19 pandemic really gaining steam. There was early talk of this being a particularly difficult flu season. And when that happens, bishops around the country suspend receiving communion in the chalice just to be cautious. And that definitely impacts our sales every couple of years. So I had gotten out early with our ordering information to all of our church customers this year. And fortunately, many of them ordered wine and it had already been delivered before this pandemic struck. So we were and remain in a relatively healthy cash position as long as we don't spend a lot of money. In other words, you know, I'm not going to incur $150,000 payable to Waterloo Container until I know I'm going to have sales coming where I can pay that off. So
right.
We haven't laid anyone off. Our few employees that we do have, we've sent them care packages of food and wine and hand sanitizer and anything else they need while they shelter in place. It's really my goal to keep everybody employed. So among all the challenges our family faces, being unemployed is not one of them.
Yeah, yeah. It's and as I said in the previous hour that your employees are their extended family. They're people you know them. You know their families. To contemplate having to lay people off is you know it's painful for them and again their extended family for you.
Absolutely, and you know it's on the stress scale. I think losing your job is right up there with losing a loved one, stress lowers everyone's immunity, and we want to do everything we can to boost our immunity and to boost spirits and keep everybody stable so that we can all get through this successfully. And I was listening to you last hour and you were talking about the opening of the economy, and even within New York State, you see the challenge between Mayor de Blasio wanting to cancel school for the rest of the year and Governor Cuomo looking at a more regional approach. There's really no consensus. We're in uncharted territory here as a country about what is the best thing to do. And it saddens me to see the politicians using this on both sides for political jabbing and you know, the discourse should really be at this time, like it was after September 11th, 2001, about, you know, the United States of America. I really hope one outcome of this whole pandemic is that we are reminded again of the simpler things in life and how important family and friends are and our health and the fact that unity is always a lot more strong than division. So we're looking for the silver lining in all of this. We had been working for years on, or not working, but anticipating for years on updating our website and our shopping cart and things like that. And so we have taken this time, which is kind of a quieter time, to update our website. So if people go to purewineonline.com, that sounds like a national website, but that's just our humble little website, purewineonline.com. It's a new shopping cart, and it's still a work in progress, but people are finding it much easier to order online, and there's the Saturday stock-up special is there. You can do mixed cases. And then we have a new website, OnedaVineyard.com, which you can get to from the Pure Wine Online. You can also get to Eagle Crest Vineyards and Oneda Sacramento Wines. So we're going to really enhance our online presence, and I'm working on getting a newsletter out. Over the years, we've collected signatures, or not signatures, but emails from folks that visit the tasting room, and I counted the other day. We have over 6,000 email addresses that I've never really used. So we're getting that database updated, and we're going to start doing a newsletter. I applaud Randy for getting out there and doing the virtual wine tastings. I know that Paul and Shannon Brock have been doing virtual tastings. I'm sort of technologically challenged, but we're having a barbecue, just a small one, with Bob Nielsen and his family later today on the deck. Six foot distancing will apply, but we're going to talk about coming up with our own YouTube channel to both comment on what's going on and what's going on in the wine world, but also to feature the Finger Lakes with folks that might be stuck at home for the duration. We have no idea really how long this is going to go on for, so we're hoping for the best, but we're planning for an extended shutdown.
Have you been planting your garden? And I know you use a lot of the things from the garden and the pizzas from the wood-fired pizza oven.
Yes, absolutely. So we got in early with our order to Petra at Fruition Seeds, and I was surprised to get a response back from her that they were working as hard as they could and being as safe as they could, but that the seed order would be somewhat less than instantaneously fulfilled this year because they're just swamped with business. I think lots of people are realizing that food security begins at home, and to be able to grow something, even if you're in the city in a container, is better than having nothing at all. So the seeds arrived yesterday. So we got about 75 packages of regionally suitable seeds from the amazing Petra at Fruition Seeds. So Bob is tilling up his garden this weekend, and then he's going to get my tiller back to me, and we're going to loosen up our raised beds and get ready for, we had many weddings scheduled this year.
Right.
The first one coming in June, and we haven't let the bride and groom yet know that it's not happening, because we'd like it still to happen, but with every passing day, it's looking like that's going to have to be rescheduled. So we will be reaching out to people. I hope that when this is all done and over with, people will bounce back with great enthusiasm and really get out and check out all the local businesses that that continue to offer services for the local community. And we're certainly there with private parties and pizza parties and anniversary parties and things like that. The winery going forward is going to be more of a destination location. And we're going to continue to make strides in that direction. So with any luck, we're going to be, talking about our 150th anniversary here in 20 months or so, and hopefully this isn't fatal for any of us.
2022. Yeah. Will Aline is with us from Eagle Crest right. Vineyards, and you mentioned Pure Wine Online as your website, and that comes from the altar wine history, right? And what? How does the church define pure wine, and why is that important?
Exactly. So there's just like the United States has guiding principles that are written down in the Constitution and the Bill of Rights, the Catholic Church has sort of its own constitution called canon law. And within canon law, it specifies the rules for pretty much everything in daily life, including what kind of wine you have to use for communion. And it's very simply stated. It has to be natural, comma, fruit of the vine, comma, and not corrupt, with no admixture of extraneous substances. So you think, well, wine's natural, of course. Well, before Louis Pasteur in the 1860s, I think, figured out that there's a yeast that lives on the skin of all grapes that when you squeeze the grape and release the juice, the yeast wakes up and it eats the sugar and it excretes ethanol and CO2 and heat. So for 6,000 years, really what people did was they grew grapes and then they squeezed them and waited, a year or more for the grape juice to turn spontaneously into wine. And that's why it was considered the drink of choice for the Jewish people, the early Christians, because it's grapes are the only fruit on earth that spontaneously turn into wine by themselves. And so it's a sign that God loves us because he gives us these grapes. When you squeeze strawberries, they turn into jam. They don't turn into wine. So pure in the sense that when you get our Sacramento wine or also our Eagle Crest wines and our old native vineyard wine, they're pure and natural, which means they are simply Finger Lakes grapes squeezed and then allowed to spontaneously ferment over 6 to 8 months, which is different than commercial winemaking, which a winemaker can learn how to adjust the juice for pH and for residual sugar and for total acidity and things like that. I don't call myself generally the winemaker. I consider myself the vintner because when we squeeze the grapes and turn on the reggae music or Mozart, depending on which variety we're fermenting, the wine makes itself beautifully, by the way. We're really excited about the 2019 Riesling harvest. I think 2019 is going to prove to be an exceptional collectible year for Riesling because it was cool and a little wet. And the acidity on the Riesling grapes was very, very strong. And that lends itself to very ageable Riesling. So we're very excited about the wines we have coming along now. It's a little risky, though, what we do. It's a quick way to make wines with high volatile acidity, or otherwise known as vinegar. They can be reductive, meaning they smell like rotten eggs and other things if you just kind of let the grapes do their own thing. But we get some bonus points because we make wine for the Lord. So we risk it, and we take an act of faith, and so far it's beautiful. So Pure Wine Online is sort of our point of difference. There are wineries that make wine like us, Bloomer Creek and Forge Cellars and Herman Weimer among them. No slouch in that list, certainly. And they continue to be my go-to people when I don't know what I'm doing. I give them a call, and Justin Boyette over at Hector Wine Company will always tell me, relax, relax. If you've got great grapes, which we do, you're going to make great wine, and just let it do its thing. And Justin's right. The wines turn out beautifully. And so, you know, people are really struggling during this lockdown, as it were, and I know everybody's getting cabin fever, but Lisa and I and Bob and his family are really blessed to be on Hemlock Lake. It's perfectly suited for this kind of an imposed quarantine. If we have to be anywhere, there's no better place than the Finger Lakes on Hemlock Lake.
Have you seen any bald eagles lately?
A lot. I don't know. It was kind of a mild winter, really, I think. At one point I saw that we had lots of snow this year, but it didn't seem to stick around a lot. And Hemlock Lake, there's one in the sky right now. I'm outside on my deck, and just as
You're
you
kidding.
Mentioned it, there's a bald eagle circling above. Just a tremendous bird, and a great story for Hemlock Lake that the bald eagle nest that was discovered there back in the 60s was used to repopulate New York State with bald eagles. When they were thought to be otherwise extinct, there was a nesting pair just south of the winery, and that nest still exists. And now bald eagles are seen throughout the Finger Lakes and New York State and the Northeast. But they're not that rare on Hemlock Lake. You on any given day, you'll see one or both of the pair up in the sky, kind of catching thermals and drifting along. A lot of red-tailed hawks, too, so and turkey vultures. So you have to have a sharp eye because everything right. looks like a bald eagle until it isn't.
Right. Well, thank you for taking the time here on Easter morning and wish you the best at the winery as businesses will start to reopen at some point, hopefully in the near future. But glad you're locked down and staying home.
Thank you, Michael, and thank you for everything you've done over the years for the Finger Lakes. You've really helped put the Finger Lakes on the map as a world-class wine and local food destination. So happy Easter to you and your family, and I look forward to talking to you in the future.
And good luck with those 75 packs of seeds. That sounds like a small farm rather than just a garden.
We have to have multiple opportunities here. So, you know, we've been a farm. This was the Bishop's Farm, a 600-acre farm in 1872. And so we've been many things. We've been a distillery. We've been an apple orchard here. Winery was built at the close of the Civil War. It survived Prohibition, Depression, World War I, World War II, the Vietnam conflict, the race riots. I'm sure we'll get through this, and we'll all be raising a glass to the Finger Lakes and to local business in the future.
All right. Have a great day.
Happy Easter, Michael. Thank you.
You too. Bye-bye. That's Will Aline, owner and vintner, as he said, Eagle Crest Vineyards just above Hemlock Lake. And in 2 years, they'll be celebrating 150 years, and founded back in 1872. And it's a gorgeous location there, with about 7,000 acres of state forest around them. It really is a beautiful spot. And I think the old seminary, which is very close to them, is just a few hundred yards down the road from the winery, is now, or will be when the shutdown ends, offering Airbnb rooms. And this, if you've been down to Eagle Crest Vineyards, you're driving through the trees. You come down from Livonia, and there's fields and farmers' fields, and then you're kind of in the trees, and then suddenly there's this about 300 room building, which is a former seminary. It's massive. You see almost no houses, and suddenly there's this incredibly large building. And so I should have gotten an update from Will on it, but they are offering some Airbnb rooms, and sort of working on renovating and updating, probably over a fairly long period of time, because it's such a big structure. It'll be interesting to see. I saw some photos a few months ago of some of the Airbnb rooms that they had. It wasn't very many, but they'd started on that process, and it should be interesting to see what happens. Again, hundreds of rooms. It's, I don't know, like 5 stories tall, and I still remember the first time I sort of drove around the corner, and again, through the trees, and then there's this huge, huge building. Not much like it, even in Rochester. I think of a building that looks like it in Rochester. It's huge. So you'll see that when you drive down to Eagle Crest Vineyards. Like I said, purewineonline.com. You can get more details on their wines. And this kind of shutdown, is a good time to explore the wines of New York State. And, you can order a half a case or a case and drop a bottle off for a neighbor as a thank you or something. And the other thing is that ideally you keep some of these Rieslings in particular, but other wines also. I saw Bet the Farm posted a photo of opening maybe a 2010 Chardonnay. No, is it Gamay Noir that they'd opened? It was a 10-year-old bottle of wine that was delicious. The cool climate wines in New York State have acidity, and Will referred to acidity a number of times. That's what you struggle to get in a warm climate. Cool climates really have great benefit in having this acidity, and that also helps in the aging of wine. So when you're ordering some wine online, keep in mind the idea that maybe you want to save some of those Rieslings, some of the almost any variety, really, of the vinifera grapes, Syrah, Pinot Noir. Billsborough Winery's done a number of vertical tastings over the years with almost every variety that they make. And so order some extra wine so that you can store some of this and open it, you know, over time, and look back on the coronavirus and the shutdown period, and have some wines that you've been able to store maybe for 5 or 10 years, and see how fantastic they are. Generally, we drink all these wines pretty much right away. Most people, some 90 or 95% of wine that's sold is consumed within days. And you know, most of the wineries don't offer and don't really have older wines in inventory that they can sell. They use them for special events and vertical tastings, and but they don't have volumes of wine because it takes a lot of storage space to store that kind of thing. So it's hard to find older vintages. You don't get many chances to try them. And ordering a little extra wine, so you know, maybe instead of half a case, you get a full case, and you know, those 6 bottles go into storage for a few years, or maybe 5 or 10 years. And when you open them, I would guess that you'll wish you had more of them at that point. So we try to let you know, as wineries offer library selections, try and let you know who's doing that and what they have. Red Newt has done a little of this. And who else? Not many. It's pretty unusual that library wines become available. Shaw Vineyards, we've talked about them. They tend to hold their wines longer. So what they offer for sale now tends to be older vintages. I think they had their Pinot Noir was 2012 right now. That's an 8-year-old bottle of wine. That's their current vintage that they're selling. And it's not because they didn't sell the previous ones. It's because that's when they think it's more of its optimum tasting, and so they hold them longer than most wineries. So store a little extra wine. You know, that wine will the purchases that you make from our local wineries will help them through the shutdown, and it will give you something delicious to taste in the future. And again, cool climate, higher acidity means even more likely to improve over time, not just hold, not just still be good, but actually get better, to change, to improve with time in the bottle. If you want any details on some of those wineries or recommendations, email me, michael@saverlife.com. We'll take a quick break. Be back after a word from our sponsors here on WYSL 1040.
I get no kick from champagne. Mere alcohol doesn't thrill me at all. So tell me, why should it be true that I get a kick out of you?
Welcome back. Michael Warren Thomas here with the sponsors of The Grapevine. I buy the time from the station, which is locally owned. That's unusual in the world of media, not just radio, but media in general. And so locally owned station. I'm an independent broadcaster because I buy the time from the station and do my own shows. So, you know, it wouldn't be unusual to have a wine show that had sponsors of, you know, major grocery store chains and chain restaurants and chain stores. But, you know, this is, our sponsors are all local independent businesses, and it is in a sense, a chain of independence. So so let them know when you place an order for wine online, let them know that you heard about it here. When you order takeout from a business, let them know you heard about it here. Makes a world of difference that they get some feedback on how people hear about them. And I've gotten to know our sponsors over, in some cases, a couple of decades, some really amazing businesses. We mentioned Peter Bell and Fox Run earlier, Fox Run Vineyards and Anthony Road Wine Company. Both will ship wine. They both have fabulous winemakers, Peter Bell at Fox Run, Peter Beecraft at Anthony Road. And both have a wide variety of wines, including dessert wine, sparkling wine. Anthony Road just released a bubbles, a forced carbonation, very inexpensive sparkling wine that I'm looking forward to trying. And so between the two wineries, you can get perhaps about 36 different bottles of wine, actually maybe more. Anthony Road has skin fermented white wines, a series that they're doing. They have their gray series, which features some lesser known and lesser sort of project wines, things that they are have experimented with, and techniques like the skin fermentation of white grapes. So check out their websites, order online, and have some delicious wines shipped to you, and then save some of those. Put them away, some of them, for a few years, or quite a few years, and see how they change. Open one bottle each year, and take some notes. I think you'll have fun doing that over the course of several years. FoxRunVineyards.com, AnthonyRoadWine.com. Also, brought to you by Chateau Lafayette Renault. They are on the east side of Seneca Lake, and also shipping wine. Chateau Lafayette Renault has been making dry reds for decades, and winning gold medals in California for dry reds long before the dry reds of the Finger Lakes in New York State became more well known. Gotten a lot more respect now on a broad basis. Chateau Lafayette Renault has been making those dry reds for a long time. The founders, Dick and Betty Reno, really believed that red grapes, vinifera grapes, had some great potential here. And Tim Miller, the winemaker, has proven that. CLRwine.com, Chateau Lafayette Renault, CLRwine.com. And also brought to you by Bricolo Tree and Lawn Care. Get in touch with them if you would like some help, the maintenance things. They have they're able to be open during the shutdown, and they take very seriously the safety of their employees, not just their customers, and being careful not to have too many people in the truck, and distance with their employees, not just with their customers. So get in touch with them if you need some help. If you would like a vegetable garden, that's something that they can install and get you ready. So you plant the seeds of the transplants. It's still very early right now, and you wouldn't plant the tomato plants for another month, probably at the earliest anyway. So get in touch with them if you want a vegetable garden installed, maybe some great compost and soil brought in, and help on figuring out where it goes in your yard for optimal sun and accessibility. It's BricoloTreeAndLawn.com, 424-4476. And finally, Casalarga, our hometown winery here in Minot County, up on Turkhill Road in Fairport, doing curbside service and also shipping wine. Maybe send some of Casalarga's wine to family and friends elsewhere in the country. They ship to many states. You can check that out online and see whether the state's family and friends live in can be shipped by Casalarga. But they ship to many, if not most, states. Like many of the wineries have such a wide variety of wines available for you to ship, from sparkling wines and dry rosé to lesser-known varietals like Muscat Otonel and delicious Chardonnays, many to choose from. It's Casalarga.com for more information. When you call and visit our sponsors, tell them you heard about it here on The Grapevine.
Tiny bubbles airline, make me happy, make me feel fine. Tiny bubbles make me warm all over. Well, feeling that I'm gonna love you till the end of time.
Welcome back. Mike Warren Thomas here. It's The Grapevine on WISL 1040, 92.1 FM. And Will Aline from Eagle Crest mentioned his 75 packs of seeds. I'd gotten some earlier. The spinach seedlings are coming up in my garden, just the first leaves. And we have some cold nights ahead this week. I'm probably going to cover them. I may not need to. Generally, things that grow from seed on their own don't get frosted by Mother Nature. But I want to hedge my bets, so I'll probably cover them. There are going to be three nights below 30 degrees or below probably this week. But we have a couple relatively warm days here today and tomorrow, near 60 today, 65 or 66 tomorrow. And if you have some old seeds that you haven't used from previous years, you might as well put some of those in the ground. See what grows. Some of them probably will, maybe not all of them, but you still should get some coming up. And it really is kind of fun to grow things from seed. We have moved away from that over the last couple of decades, maybe the last really 30 or 40 years. We've gone more to just putting transplants in the ground. And many vegetables grow from seed better sown directly in the ground. So the cool climate things you can put in now for early spring, peas and radishes, the spinach, kale, Swiss chard, broccoli, many of these things kind of like the cold weather and will give you something to eat. And, well, radishes about 30 days, and spinach and things and peas probably about a little less than 2 months. So that means later in May, you may have some of those to enjoy. Maybe some leaves of lettuce and spinach earlier than that. So you can do this in containers. You don't need to plant an entire vegetable garden. You can just, a couple of pots, start some seeds in and see what happens. And it just gets you outside. It gets you thinking about nature, and it's kind of fun to grow some of your own herbs and vegetables. People have been doing less of that lately. Maybe this year a good excuse to use your time outside to grow a few more things and do some weeding. I think there'll be fewer weeds in people's gardens than in a normal year. There'll be fewer weeds in my garden, that's for sure. And I was thinking we're going to do another post to Rochester FoodNet coming up at some point soon, hopefully about either this month or next month, breakfast sandwiches that we're making at home, because Rochester FoodNet's been doing a series on breakfast sandwiches from different restaurants, and the collaborators at Rochester FoodNet have gone out and tasted and reviewed and photographed these, and you can read about a couple of the restaurants, rochesterfoodnet.com. Village Bakery and Cafe, Fisher's Station, Tree Town Cafe, the first three that we did in January, February, March. And then with a shutdown, there's not many breakfast sandwiches to taste, and people really should be staying home anyway. So maybe we'll do some of our own breakfast sandwiches. And I was thinking of mine, I might put some of the weeds that are growing in my garden that are edible. And I actually have a lot of them, chickweed and dead nettle and oxalis. Purslane's not up yet, but many edible weeds out there that are really nutritious. And it might be a kind of a fun decoration for my breakfast sandwich. So, again, rochesterfoodnet.com. You can read about some of the other breakfast sandwiches and see what I come up with for mine. Yeah, it's something, again, kind of fun to have edible weeds in it. That would be unusual and pretty colorful, actually. There's also a couple of posts up there. One, the interview I did with Chris Carlson about distilleries making hand sanitizer. He's been one of the key people who's helped to make this happen. The chemistry, the ingredients, the sort of method of putting it together and helping the distilleries manage doing this. He's been a really important part of that. So that interview is up, about 20 minutes, half an hour long interview with Chris Carlson. He's the spiritual advisor. It's spiritsreview.com. So he is involved with the distilleries partly because he reviews spirits, has done that for a couple of decades. And so he knows the distilleries. He's also very familiar with alcohol and as a former EMT, so he knows the importance of hand sanitizer more than most people, and has really been instrumental in what the local distilleries are doing with making hand sanitizer. And it initially looked like, you know, maybe they needed to make it for a few weeks, and then you know the supplies would arrive from the multinational corporations that normally make this, but that doesn't seem to be happening. The supply is just so low that the big corporations that make it are struggling to just supply some basic customers, maybe the hospitals, and you know it's not on the store shelves really yet, and so the it's really been even more important that this work has been done with the local distilleries to produce the hand sanitizer, which is now becoming available for the general public. The distilleries, some of them, are offering it for pickup, curb service, and you purchase it from them. And they can't ship it to you because of the alcohol. So check with your favorite local distillery, see if they have any available, and so we'll try and keep a list of which ones are offering some hand sanitizer. I think I saw Chris Carlson post one that they made with some absinthe, that's, I think, just a few bottles of that, kind of for fun, but it's been really pretty amazing what the local distilleries have done to provide hand sanitizer that just wasn't available anywhere else. And it's been crucial for hospitals and nursing homes and a lot of other places. They are selling it to the hospitals and things, but, that's helping to keep their employees going and keep their businesses afloat. And again, the hospitals will be buying it from Purell or whoever the major producers were if they had it available. And it's taking longer than I expected for that to become more widely available. So read about or listen to Chris Carlson at Rochester Food Net, but a bunch of other articles too there at the website for you to explore. And there's half a dozen collaborators, including myself, that have been posting things. I saw there is an interview also with Chris Spinelli from Rock Brewing about FLX Wienery moving into Rochester and sharing their space right across from the Strong Museum of Play. And I saw, so you can listen to Chris Spinelli at RochesterFoodNet.com. And I saw him post that although the shutdown is going on now and they don't know when they'll be able to open, they are working on construction in there and getting that ready for the FLX Wienery. But a bunch of other articles, Rochester Food Net, Adam Wilcox, longtime food writer in our area, has risotto rumpus article you can read about. And then also for, you often incorporate some philosophy, a new reality from a March 21st post. What does it mean to be a food blogger in the time of COVID-19? And Chris Clemens has a fun article about post Rochester Food Net on the foods that Rochester foodies won't touch. And of course, he's a prime example of that because he cannot touch mayonnaise. It's just, it's like a kryptonite for Chris Clemens. So, but you can read about what other Rochester foodies don't like. You know, they're specific things that they just can't eat. So that's RochesterFoodNet.com. Some reading, some listening, some philosophy, quite a range of different articles, and also some recipes and things to make the pantry jambalaya. Karen Cross-Smith also has a number of articles about making a whole variety of different dishes. So, you know, RochesterFoodNet.com, some a good site to explore while you're hopefully staying home and doing some cooking from the pantry. Great time to get creative with that, and you can search online for... You get three ingredients. You can search online for what might include those, as well as creating some of your own things. So, you know, RochesterFoodNet.com for more details on some things you can make at home. If you run into cool articles, things that you don't hear me mention, send me a note, Michael@SaverLife.com. And again, I mentioned earlier, it feels confusing that suddenly it's a good idea to wear a mask, but the reason it feels that way is that the powers that be decided it was better not to suggest that early on, so that these masks would not be hoarded and they wouldn't be available for hospital staff. It really was a good idea all along. They just started recommending it. And so if you feel confused, conflicted, disturbed by the fact that it's suddenly recommended, that's my impression of how this has happened. And so I encourage you to wear masks when you're around other people and in public, at grocery stores. As I said several times yesterday and today, your mask is going to protect me, and the mask that I wear will protect you. A lot of people don't know they have the coronavirus, and some people are asymptomatic, so they don't have any symptoms. How would you know if you don't have symptoms when there's no testing? So we get this testing ramped up. We have people wearing masks, and this will look much more positive We'll have more control over the situation. We'll have more information. That's really the key. We don't have the testing. We don't know. That is a maddening thing. So hopefully that gets ramped up very, very quickly, and that's what's going to help us reopen businesses. If people are wearing masks and testing is being done, we will be able to keep this coronavirus under control so that our hospitals don't get overwhelmed. That's crucial right now. If you want more information on anything we talked about today, you can email me, michael@saverlife.com. If you're wondering where to find things, or looking for whatever it might be, ingredients, etc., send me a note. A lot of the ethnic grocery stores, the smaller grocery stores, places like Lombardi's Gourmet Foods and Olindo's and Redbird Market and the some fabulous Indian and Asian food markets have tons of things in supply. Again, wear a mask and be careful. But if you're having trouble finding things, those smaller markets are a great place to do that. We'll be back next Saturday with Gardening Restaurants and Discover the Finger Lakes here on WYSL 1040. Happy Easter, Passover. Again, stay home, be safe, and I'll be back next weekend. Have a great day.